Hey, welcome everybody. Brand new show, Nerds United, Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. I'm Greg Mahochko, your ever faithful, ever loving, ever... I don't know where I was going with that. Host. I'm the host of the show. And if this is your first time to the Nerd Dome, thank you so much for entering. Thank you for joining. Thank you for downloading and hitting the play button or going to the website at jitterymonkey.com/Nerds United. Podcast and finding the show there. So I appreciate your time and my guest in episode number 58. By the way, I want to say right now that you're going to hear it called episode 57 a couple of times. Just ignore that. That's me being inaccurate. I corrected at the end of the show, but my guest in episode number 58 is a letterer and a writer. And he has a Kickstarter campaign going now to get his new book up and running. His name is Micah Myers. He's from Portsmouth, Virginia. And to have a nice conversation with him, his origin story, learn a little bit about lettering, because that's actually my first letterer that I've ever had on the show. And we talk about The Disasters, number one. So if you want to get a little head start on that, head to Kickstarter.com. And search for The Disasters number one, or just The Disasters, or probably could just find it under Disasters. We'll hear a little bit about that and a spoiler-free synopsis, if you will. I do want to alert you if you hear various changes in the quality of the audio. We did try recording this Tuesday night a couple of times, were unsuccessful beyond getting just a few minutes in because of some technical difficulties on my end. On Wednesday, I had to go to the radio station of my previous employee anyway to do some radio work there for my current job, obviously. And I said, while I'm here, I'm just going to holler at Micah, see if he's free. He happened to be free, so we knocked out the remainder of the recording. And everything sounded much better. Amazing how that works with right proper audio equipment. So worked, turned out great, and appreciate Micah and his time and his patience as well for working with me through my rather unceremonial technical difficulties. So once again, my guest in episode number 58 is Micah Myers, and he has a Kickstarter. Kickstarter.com and search for The Disasters number one. Here's episode number 58 of Nerds United with Micah Myers on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network.
Comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey Podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome, one and all, episode number 57 of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. I am your host, Greg Mahochko, and it has been a while since we got together. I think the last episode that was brought forth to you was recorded New Year's Eve after the ball had dropped and published for you probably right away, but I know it was still on early morning of January 1st. So it has been a month plus, but that is what happens when you have a newborn and they spend almost 3 weeks of their, beginning of their life in the hospital, and you stay there with them as long as you can. And then you try to get acclimated to life with a baby. And this being my wife and mine first, we had a lot of acclimating to do, but we're hanging in there, and I'm sleeping far more than she is because nothing wakes me up. I sleep through fire alarms if I had to. I've slept through an earthquake. I'm good. Her, on the other hand, it's wired, I guess, in that motherboard of a mother that the first sign of a first hint of a fuss, she is up and ready, and I say, honey, wake me up. I want to help. Let me feed him, change him in the middle of the night. And she says, it's more trouble trying to wake you up than just doing it myself. And I said, okay, I'm going back to sleep. So anyway, that is a big part of why we've been kind of radio silent in the last month or so. Another reason is I just didn't have
a good quality guest lined up, and that has changed in episode 57. And before I introduce my guest, I want to say that this show certainly not at all sponsored by, but as we all know, I do enjoy a beverage from time to time on the show. And for episode 57, one of the remaining winter ales that I have comes from Big Sky Brewing Company in Missoula, Montana, and it is the Powder Hound Winter Ale. Now, Big Sky Brewing Company, also famous for bringing you the Moose Drool Brown Ale, and the Powder Hound is quite delicious. So throughout the evening, I will be quenching my thirst with the Powder Hound Winter Ale. But welcome to Nerds United and to the Nerd Dome to my guest for episode 57, Micah Myers, who is, among other things, he is a writer and a letterer, and working on a Kickstarter campaign, which we'll obviously touch on numerous times and help promote throughout the episode. Micah, welcome to the show, sir.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you hail from? Where's home?
I am from Portsmouth, Virginia, right close to the border to North Carolina, about 20 minutes from the ocean. Nice area. Don't really ever get to go out to the ocean, but it's nice that it's there.
But yeah, if you wanted to, if you had time, you could certainly venture over that way.
That's not just time. It's just, you know, sand, water, seawater, ocean water. It's just, I've seen it. It's pretty.
What is it Anakin Skywalker says about sand? It gets everywhere.
It gets everywhere. It gets itchy.
It's coarse, irritating, and just like his performance in episode 2, Attack of the Clones. So, tell us a little bit about you. Let's start at the beginning. When did you start taking an interest in comics from like a consumer, from a fan, from a reader point of view?
When I was a little kid, I read comics. I used to get comics from the grocery store. My mom would, she would go around and pick up everything, and me and my brother would go to the magazine section, and they would have, you know, 10 or so different books, and we would read through them while she was shopping, and then we'd eventually get to pick out one. And that kind of petered out after a while. I didn't stick with it. I didn't go to comic book stores as a kid. And what brought me back into it is about 2006, me and my wife were watching the movie Comedians of Comedy with Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn and a couple other comedians, but Brian and Patton in the movie, it's like a documentary of them traveling around doing comedy. Mm-hmm. But in the movie, they also feature a part where they are stopping in each of these towns. On Wednesday, they still stop and find a comic book store to go to.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's just a little small section of the movie, but it just seemed fun to me. Like, I remember comic books. That was a fun thing. And I was like, you know, I really don't have any hobbies or anything. I don't really do anything other than just work. And, you know, so I told my wife, I think I'm going to try and, you know, get into comics again. Cause I mean, they can't be that much, you know, add that much expense to us. You know, little did I know.
Right. Yeah. You fell down the rabbit hole.
So I got back into reading. I started looking into what was, you know, good comics, what was big comics. And that's when I discovered, everyone talking about The Watchmen. So I read through that, and I wanted to get wholehearted into one of the comics, either DC or Marvel, and I hadn't even, you know, gone into the whole Beyond That Image and Dark Horse yet, but I wanted to buy everything by a line, like not everything, but I wanted to be like a completist. Like if I wanted to get Batman stuff, I wanted to get all the Batman mm-hmm. stuff. I wanted to get all. So the, you know, on the side of Watchmen, on the spine, it had DC Comics on there. I was like, well, that's they made this, that's the company I'm going to go with. And once again, little did I know, about 2 weeks before this happened was the beginning of Countdown, DC's Countdown. And that's when I got back into reading comic books. And that was not a good time to be getting back into comic books. Because I read all of Countdown. And now looking back at it, I realize what a poor financial choice and a time choice that was. But at the time, I was like, oh, this is so great. It's all these different characters. And I was, oh, it was, it's rough. You can't go back and look at those now. But
Countdown for you seemed like Blackest Night for me. Blackest Night was what drew me back into comics. And I have every Blackest Night and Brightest Day tie-in that they made. And I'm stuck with it forever. I have boxes of Blackest Night and Brightest Day.
I was still buying everything at when Blackest Night came out. Now I've kind of gotten smarter about it. I've also expanded out about a year or two ago. I kind of expanded out, and because DC after the New 52, DC kept getting less and less quality for me, and I'm kind of realizing it. And now I've gone over and gotten more Marvel stuff, and I've ventured out to more Image and small press stuff. Especially now that when I got into actually working in comics, I discovered way more than just superhero comics, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I've got a little bit more diverse buying taste now, and also a little bit more modest buying. I don't... You know, I at one point was spending $40-$50 a week, and
right.
that wasn't good for. I got a wife and two kids at home. That probably wasn't the best choice I could have made.
So, and you put all that together over the course of a month, and that's a car payment.
Yeah, so I was I did not make the best financial decisions when I was younger, but I guess you know.
And I
that's
think
what you're being young is for, I guess.
And I think it's one of those too. As you get older, your palate, you know, matures. You get a little bit more discernible taste. And if your you know eye is not looking out for quality, as you said, your budget and your wallet are. So a lot of times you have to really scale back. Sometimes by necessity, and sometimes by choice.
Oh yeah, it still happens every now and again. When I'll go through, I have a Comixology, like the pull list of everything I buy every month. And as you know, on Monday I check to see what I'm going to be buying that week. And it's, you know, we'll get, you know, $50 of comics. Like, well, it looks, and it starts time to decide which books I actually like reading. Got to make some cuts here for this
right.
week.
I've not been shy about the fact that because of my own, I don't want to say, you know, poor time management skills or laziness or what have you, I'm well over now a year behind on just my weekly poll reads, and it's shameful. I carry my chin is on my chest. It my shoulders are slouched when I go into my comic book shop, and I tell them I still haven't read the stuff from November of 2014, but here I am getting stuff for January 2016.
There was at one point I lost my day job. I got laid off, and so I had to tell my comic book store not to keep pulling stuff mm-hmm. for me. And then I went in there when I got a big tax return, and I went in and bought like 6 months worth of comics. And I think they were like, the comic book store was giving me like a free box to carry it out in. They were giving me bags and boards for free. I mean, they were just happy to get rid of all these comics and everything. And I went home, and it took me a month or two to read them all. It was so many comics.
They missed their friend is what it was.
Oh,
So let's kind of venture back to, like, you know, the supermarket days when you and your brother were just kind of there killing time. Do you remember some of the stuff? Like, what were some of the characters that you really enjoyed reading at that younger age?
Spider-Man and Batman, you know, because there was only so many comics at the grocery store, but, you know, they wanted to get the, you know, Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, main couple of heroes, you know, they want the... You know, they weren't selling, you know, the West Coast Avengers or anything at the grocery store. So.
Weren't now I'm trying to think. Was X-Men still? I mean, were they still riding a wave of momentum? Were you still able to get like X-Men titles, or were they kind of sticking?
I had some X-Men. I remember I still have the comics that I got then, and I do have some X-Men from then. Was it Extinction Agenda or something like that? It was like the big storyline. Mm-hmm. Had a couple issues from that storyline.
I'll go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't even remember reading them when I was a kid. I'm pretty sure I just flipped through them and I just got them because they were cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember any stories from when I was a kid. I just, looking back now, they're like, hey, this is a thing that was kind of popular. And knowing now about comics and about comic history, I'm like, hey, I actually have this cool thing.
And I know even as recently as probably like a year ago or so, and even, you know, I haven't seen any studies or reports or anything like that, but they still say, even as popular as Batman is and Superman, they still say that Spider-Man is still the most popular, you know, as far as, you know, like bringing in, you know, the cash, you know, from all the other, you know, tie-ins and action figures and all the other, you know, trademark stuff, merchandising, they still say that Spider-Man's number one. So, I mean, Peter Parker, and not just Peter Parker, but, you know, Miles Morales and all that stuff, they must be doing something right. Well, I'll tell you what, not Mike Ditka, Ditko. So Stan Lee and Steve Ditko really knocked it out of the park with Spider-Man. I mean, who would have thought that it would end up being not just the critical success story that it was, but the commercial success that it was?
Yeah, if only. I'm pretty sure none of those guys back then had any idea what they were making.
It's still a dream of mine. I've got to act fast, but I'd still love to have Stan Lee on the show. And he knows this because I think I've tried reaching out to his people, but the Stan Lees, you know, and they're not knocking down my door to say, I'd like to be on your show, Greg. And it'd be nice if they were, but let's talk a little bit about the creative side of things, because obviously writing and lettering, or lettering
as I'm a letterer and I do
lettering. The disasters, the campaign is live right now on Kickstarter. But before we get too much into that, you started as a letterer, correct?
Yes, I am a letterer. I actually have my banner at conventions. It has my name, Micah Myers, letterer, and then in parentheses, it says occasional writer.
Very nice.
Yeah, because I have, you know, a couple of ideas for writing, and I don't, if they make me money, then good, but I don't have any big plans of or any big hopes that I'm going to write the thing that's going to get me picked up by Image or Dark Horse or even anything below that. I letter tons of books for lots of companies, and I just decided to, you know, that I got ideas for kids and I've got connections, might as well, you know, I want to see my name on the cover of the book sometimes too.
Sure. What are some of the titles that you have done the lettering on?
I've done a lot of stuff for Xenoscope, like the Grimm's Fairy Tales things. What's that called for Devil's Do? Mercy Sparks. I've done two issues of that, and the Free Comic Book Day issue this year. I did that one. I've done that one already.
It's, oh, awesome!
Because you got to do it way in advance. Those are the big, there's a book coming out soon from, Scout Comics, which is like an up and coming, company, but they do distribute through Diamond and everything. So it'll be in stores, called Elasticator. That's, what I hope is going to be a big book. It seems like they're the creators behind it and everything. They're getting a lot of press on like Bleeding Cool and stuff like that. So it might be something. I might be on the ground floor or something new and cool.
Now you have a Facebook page just for your lettering, and I believe it's Micah Myers Comic Book Letterer, where I saw a little bit of the Elasticator. What do they call it? Like, it's kind of like an R-rated Plastic Man?
Yeah, I think that's what the headline on, I think it was on Newsarama or Comic What Resource, and that's what they put on there. I think that was something that they wrote. That wasn't like from the creator,
right?
It was something, but yeah, it's like a it's a teenage superhero. He's got stretchy powers. All I've done so far is the first issue. I haven't got very far in the story, so it's kind of just backstory at this point. But it's a lot to do with gangs and New York City. So it what I've seen so far in the art in it is really great. I can't pull the guy's name right now off the top of my head, but yeah, that's a really cool book. I think that's like I said. I think I'm on the ground floor or something cool there. I think I'm lucky on that one.
I'm actually pulling up a little bit. Hopefully, of the information, courtesy of, again, your Facebook page, and that's from Newsarama. That I was just wanting for drawn by Kevin Shaw.
Shaw, that's So that's right, yeah, because I remember now doing the cover for doing the names on the cover now. Yeah, Shaw.
What is? Let's talk about lettering just a little bit. What is? I mean, obviously, every character, you know, has their own tone. Like I think of, you know, like the lettering in a Batman or Superman or Green Lantern or Spider-Man is going to be different than like the character Etrigan the Demon, you know, because he's got kind of that classic old style type of lettering to that. What are some important things about lettering besides, I would imagine, just having that background information on the character?
Decided on, you know, what kind of font you use, the, you know, the art style, you know, like you said, the different kind of characters, you know, if the big monster is not going to have the same speaking voice as a little kid. But also another important thing with lettering is not overusing that, because then it starts to look, you know, cartoony. Mm-hmm. Starts to look silly when every single, and there's been books that I'm not that I've done, but I've seen that each character has their own different balloon, each different font, and it makes me sad to look at, because I was like, somebody had to do all that, and that's a lot of work.
I believe that.
So it's like it's a hard balance you got to find of doing what serves the story and what kind of almost becomes
a chore.
It becomes a chore for you to do, but also it hurts the it takes away from the art, it takes away from the story. Mm-hmm. To have so much going on just with the lettering. The best lettering is pretty much unnoticeable. I mean, obviously noticeable because you read it, but you know, the only time anyone ever in a review or anyone's talking about, you know, the comic they just read, if they're bringing up the lettering, it's not because, hey, the lettering in this comic was really great this week. It's because they're bringing it up because it's bad. If it's good, then no one really ever talks about it. And, which, you know, is like, good and bad in its own way, you know, cause you know, we all like to be, we'd like to be talked about too. We did our, you know, we did our work. We did our jobs.
Now, when I think of letter, I think primarily of like the dialogue, but are you also responsible for, you know, all like the onomatopoeia type of wording that helps, you know, describe this, the sound that would be
the sound effects and the sound effects, the captions, all that stuff. Sometimes the artist does the sound effects, but for the most part, that's, you know, left for us to do. Sometimes even like background things, like a poster in the background or a billboard, stuff like that, even is left for us to do.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's one of those things I didn't, you know, I never knew about, you know, how much of, you know, a lot of that, like you said, you know, sort of, you know, back of the, you know, back of the scene or, you know, things like that, art is left to the letterer. How much does the artist do? And I'm sure it probably depends more on the artist's preference than the letterer's preference, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's pretty much what's handed down to us. Sometimes sometimes the letterer isn't even brought on until not the last minute, but until the art's usually already done. Like in usually in like the previews, like it'll list the writer and the artist and sometimes the colorist. But nobody cares about the letter. One of the reasons why the letter isn't listed is because most times they haven't even been decided on yet.
Oh wow, okay.
You kind of come in, do the previews, you know, 2 months ahead of time, sometimes you're brought in at the end. So whatever, you know, comes down your way, you just kind of got to deal with, you know, with the creator-owned books, you're brought in early, and the writer, sometimes the writer will come to the letterer and say, you know, what are you comfortable, what amount beyond the dialogue are you, you know, wanting to do? Mm-hmm. Is it okay if you do this much? Is it okay if the artist does this? It can be more of a collaborative kind of job, sure, job, instead of just this is what you got to do, have it by this day kind of thing.
Now, if you think about it, the letterer is, I mean, obviously you've got the writer who provides the script and the artist who draws it, but without a letterer, you don't have a comic book unless you have like a no dialogue comic book. I mean, right? I mean, that's an integral part of the story of the product that is in the customer's hands, in the reader's hands, comes from the letterer. And I gotta say, it's a darn shame that you don't get a cover credit. I'm just saying. I'm on team letterer.
Well, that's good to have somebody else on the team. it's becoming a little bit more common to see it. I know, what's that book that just got announced by Image with the team that was on Superior Foe the Spider-Man's, their new book from Image. Oh, gosh, I can't think what it's called. The Fix or something? The something. But friend Nick Shaw is doing the lettering for that, and he's actually on the cover of it. So that's pretty cool. And sometimes they get on the cover, but yeah, for the most part, we get left off. And
As you were mentioning that, I'm looking Image Comics, The Fix, perfect for crime genre lovers. This was from ImageComics.com, but an all new series from Nick Spencer and Steve Lieber.
Yeah, that's the one.
All right, so there you have it.
I saw it in it's on. They actually got the cover of the previews catalog, and Nick, the letterer, Nick Shaw, he's actually on there, and that's got to be like a dream come true to be, to be on the cover of previews.
Just below the X is Shaw on the Fix number one. So very, very cool. And like I said, there's so many people, you know, so many wonderfully creative people who are integral in the creation of a comic book that, you know, everybody, it doesn't have to be reliant on just one or two names. I mean, obviously look it, and it's, you know, kind of on topic, yet kind of off topic. Look how long it's taking now for someone like Bill Finger to get recognition for all he contributed. I mean, I marked out like a right proper nerd when I saw the latest trailer for Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, and in the little credit screen there it mentioned, you know, Bill Finger's name. I said, that's awesome. I hadn't seen that. Not saying it hadn't happened before, I just hadn't seen it. So everybody who has a hand in the creative process needs a little bit of that recognition. So as we talk about creating, you are you have worked out a story for The Disasters. What in the world are The Disasters?
All right, The Disasters is like an action comedy book. It's kind of in the same vein as Justice League International, or like I just mentioned, The Superior Foes of Spider-Man, where it's using a lot more humor. It's not like the dark and grim kind of comic books that kind of have come back a lot more. They were the big thing in the 90s, and it seems now that DC decided to go back to the dark and gritty, especially with their movies, unfortunately. But back to The Disasters. It's about four supervillains who are brought together when they all play part in accidentally killing a superhero. So then the four of them are brought together as they are on the run from police, all the other superheroes who are out looking for the guy who killed their friend. They're all kind of oddball supervillains. None of them are like the A-list Joker. They're all the B and C level, you know, more like Killer Quilt kind of level of villain. And there's a former former pro wrestler named The Enforcer. There's a superpower thief named Bimara. She's kind of like powers kind of like Vertigo. There's a henchman who lifelong henchman who just has the name Glider Hench Number 4. As the story progresses, probably give him a more permanent name as he makes his own identity, because that's what he wants to do. He wants out from being the henchman to begin his own kind of villain. And the last character who's been pretty popular on Facebook from people seeing the picture of him, got a real unique look, is Snow Globe, who is a demolition expert, blow stuff up for money, and has a snow globe for a head, or a mask.
For a helmet.
Kinda like Mysterio.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not his actual head. Yeah, he's a helmet that kind of like Mysterio with a fishbowl on his head, but this guy's got the snow globe, real goofy looking character. It's a lot of, every time when I first started posting pictures of him, I got a lot of comments on Facebook about that. And even had a couple of people do, fan art, I guess.
Oh, wow.
For him, cause it's just such a weird and unique, design, thanks to the guy who drew and designed him, Joe Bedone. Which brings into the next point, is that the first issue, which is what we're doing the Kickstarter for, is going to have five artists in the book. Daniel Franco is going to do a bookend. He's going to do a splash page on the one page at the beginning, one page at the end. And then inside there's going to be four different artists, each doing each character. Bobby Simpson, who is... he's done like self-publishing little short stories, but he's got a real cool, unique, reminds me a lot of, Nick Batara that does, Manhattan Projects. Hmm. He's doing the Enforcer, the pro wrestler story. And, Marie Inger, who she has her own kind of fantasy comics, but she's also a colorist. She did coloring for the Paybacks, the Scott Collins book, and for other things that I can't think of. I'm trying to pull it up. Oh, gosh. I want to give everybody their credit. Pistol Whip is the other book she did coloring for. And the next artist is Morgan Sawyer, who's another guy from Virginia like me, except he's a little bit more north up in Richmond. I met him at a convention last year. He's done a lot of interior work for a comic book company called Gnosis. He's doing the Glider Hench story. And like I said, the last one, the Snow Globe, is going to be done by Joe Bedone. Each character is going to get a five-page story. It's first kind of cover their background, maybe a little bit kind of origin stories, and then we'll lead into the night where they all... their night where they all play part in the killing of a superhero, how they all meet, how they all accidentally, you know, kill a superhero. You know, none of these people are all set out that night to hurt anybody, but
so I mean,
we'll see how it happens.
And I know you mentioned that they're not like, you know, the A-list, you know, rogues. They're more B and C list. They're probably not, you know, I'm guessing they're not murderers. I mean, everything that you say makes it seem like it's accidental and oops, our bad type of thing. I mean, it seems like it's just I'm not trying to, you know, steal from Lemony Snicket's, but it does seem like it's a series of unfortunate events that brings these four characters together. And that's
a good, the guy who's helping me edit it in the, Loophole Comics, Mike Eckner, the guy who, it's his imprint, he called it bizarre coincidences that bring these all these characters together. That's probably a good way.
Probably a copyright
infringement-free way of saying...
unfortunate events, yes. A series of unfortunate events.
So what is... Let's kind of break down the Kickstarter a little bit, because a lot going on, and people can... You know, not everybody has to, you know, break the bank, so to speak. But, you know, for a dollar, you can help out, you know, another independent comic book creator, and see this vision become a reality. So let's break down the reward levels, if you will. And again, mention a dollar, that gives you a nice thank you. And you know what, for a lot of people, that's enough. Just a little recognition.
Thank you. And your name in the book too. Your name in the little back little thing. We're going to have a little thank you section in the book. You can have your name in there, and I you don't even have to give a real name. You can give a silly fake name. It doesn't, and you can laugh about it with your friends later. I don't know.
Son of Snow Globe.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not going to fact check your name. whatever you want. We got that, and then the next level above that, for $5, you get a digital copy of the first issue, and also your name in the book. And so all you need is $5 and you get to read the first issue, you know, on your computer. Then we have the print for $8. You get the comic sent to your house with a cover, the main cover, which is done by my friend Paul Gorey, or my friend and also artist. He's not just, you know, a guy that I paid to... guy down the street that I paid to do it. He's also a professional artist.
I thought you were going to say he wasn't a guy I paid to be my friend, but I'm glad you went that other direction.
I might pay him to be my friend. Maybe he hangs around because he knows I give him work. I don't know.
There you go.
but he did a cover for me. He's also got his own comic, Oathbound, that's going to be on the same website, Loophole Comics, coming out from the same guys. Then the next level up, $10, you get the comic with a cover by Drew Moss, who has done work for Oni, Terrible Lizard, and coming out right now, Blood Feud. He's the artist on those. You probably see, Blood Feud's got a really cool thing going on right now. With, they have the it's a horror book, and they have covers that are like parodies of... like famous horror movies. Like, they got the Evil Dead cover and a Friday the 13th cover. You've probably seen those around the comic shops. He's going to be doing a cover for Disasters that you can only get through Kickstarter. We got the level for $15 where you get both of the covers, in case you can't choose. Then for $25, we have a bunch of different levels, where you get the comic and a print by the different artists of the Disasters. Bobby Simpson, Mary Inger, Marie Inger. For some reason, I always want to say Mary. I don't know why. Morgan Sawyer and Joe Bedone are all going to do prints of the whole team in their style. They each designed their character that they're doing the story of, and they're going to do prints of the whole team in their own style. Then above that, we have a print from, for $30, you get a print from Jesse Lonergan, who I found on Tumblr. But also he had a comic out a few, I think it was last year, called The All-Stars. And he's a cartoonist, does great, great work. He's going to be doing a print. And just announced today, I got a print from Hoyt Silva, who's done work for Devil's Due, for Mercy Sparks, and for Operation Nemesis. He's actually the guy who got me the job lettering for nice. Mercy Sparks. So I saw him last weekend at a show, and he offered to do a print for me. So I took him up on that offer, and he did it up and everything, and I just put it on the page today. Brand new, looks beautiful. He did a print of the Glider Hench number 4, and it is pretty cool. And we have a level for comic shop owners, whether it's a physical store or online store, or if you just want to say you're a store, you can also do that level. Once again, I'm not fact checking anything. You give me your money, I can care less what you do with it, really. But you get 10 comics with either of the covers or mixed match of the original cover or the Kickstarter cover sent to your shop, and you can resell it. Once again, you can resell it for whatever you want. I don't make it. As long as I have the money, you can do whatever you want. Selling for $10. That is all your business at that point. We also have a level at $35 where you get the comic, and also you get an anthology that I'm working on now with me and a bunch of other people that are working the small press, a anthology about pro wrestling called Kayfabe. It's going to be around the same time that Disasters Number One is going to be done. So if you're a pro wrestling fan and a comic book fan, you get a little bit of both with that one.
It's amazing how often those two like fan bases overlap too. So,
oh yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how many you like guys wearing spandex fighting crime. You like guys wearing spandex fighting each other.
I wasn't going to quite take it to that level, but I understand where you're coming from.
Oh yeah. Oh, I've loved wrestling longer than I've even loved comic books. I think when I was being born, my dad was in the waiting room watching wrestling. So that's not even a joke. That's an actual thing that happened. But
we've got here on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, shout out, we have a wrestling podcast called My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. So if anybody that you send to this episode also likes wrestling, I encourage them to check out My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast.
And I will check it out.
You should. Kevin is the host. He's had Sheamus on. He's had a number of Chikara Pro wrestlers. He's working on a WWE Hall of Famer and an active superstar. So
I love Chikara. I went to Chikara last year, and my daughter won the the little raffle they have, and she got a mask of who was El Hijo del Ice Cream.
Oh, nice!
Oh yeah, she was so excited.
They've had not to get off topic completely, but since we already have, yeah, they've had Gentleman Jervis Cottonbelly. They've had Max Smashmaster, Mr. Touchdown. I think no.
That's really cool.
Was it Mr. Yeah, I think it was Mr. Yeah, and then
there's
and
actually
then,
a couple of guys. Oh, go ahead.
Just last month, Princess Kimberly, the new grand champion. So cool. Yeah, there you have it. There you go, Kevin, if you're listening. Shout out to you, sir, for all the shout outs you give to Nerds United. I've covered
they're coming back to town soon, so I'm gonna have to get myself some tickets for that. So
they don't come around me that often, but WWE is heading, you know, nearby Cape Girardeau, Missouri, at the end of the month, right after Fastlane. So I got some people I know going to there. So it is what it is. So anyway, that's the anthology called Kayfabe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kayfabe. It's it's a bunch of different creators in the small press. We're not exactly sure, you know, who's going to make it in the books yet, but I've seen a lot of cool names, so I'm pretty sure if they have a name, they might just make it no matter how good the story is, because I like their names. So, but yeah, we haven't, it's coming up soon to the due date for submission. So if you are listening to this now and you think you can make a comic in the next month, you can also submit to it. It's if you find Kayfabe on, Kayfabe, a wrestling anthology. It's on Facebook. There's a group. If you want to submit to it, you got about another month to go, and you could be part of this. So that's cool too. I get to plug that too.
Get after it, kids.
Like I said, March 1st is the due date, so get on it quick. Let's see what else we got. Oh, $75. You get all the prints of the all the prints from the Disasters artist, and then the big we have a big $100 one where you get all the prints, and looking at it now, I need to add the one from Hoyt in the listing. And for $125, you get all the prints and the Kayfabe book and the comic, everything, the whole big shabam. So from $1 to $125, you can give a little, give a lot, even give nothing and just share it. And I'd appreciate the mess out of that, too.
Sharing is caring, and it's free.
Oh, definitely.
That was my after-school special voice right there. And it's free.
Ding, ding, ding. The more you know.
That's right. So look into the disasters. And folks, you can find it just as easily as I found it. Kickstarter.com in the little search thing. Write disasters. And if you want to get fancy, you can write the disasters number one. But I don't think you need to. Just write the disasters.
You might even not even need the. Just write disasters.
Also very true. And then you'll be greeted by a friendly pre-recorded message from Micah reminding you why you're here and doing what you're doing. And we got to give a shout out to the reason that we got together for this conversation, because that goes back to a longtime friend of Nerds United and a nerd and comic creator in his own right, Mr. Anthony Mathenia, who dropped the Nerds United name on when you went out seeking, you know, shows possibly or potentially be a guest on, and he dropped my name and the name of the show. So thank you to Anthony and everybody at the Stash Publishing crew. And, you know, I think they have some wrestling fans over there. You might want to hit up for that anthology.
Oh yeah. I think I'm pretty sure I've picked up everybody they got too. I mean, that was, yeah, it's been going on, since I think November of last year. I went everywhere looking for people. I even went on looking for actual wrestlers, like mm-hmm. WWE. If there was a WWE fan that I had heard was a wrestling fan, I was like, well, all they can do is ignore me, so might as well try.
And I'm trying to think who I've seen over the years. I mean, obviously somebody like CM Punk, who obviously is a comic book fan. Shane,
he's writing for Marvel now.
That's
so
right. On Thor, I believe. No, Drax the Destroyer. He did a Thor annual, right?
Yeah, he did like a little short story in a Thor annual.
But yeah, he's doing Drax. But Shane Helms or Gregory Helms or the Hurricane, depending on, you know, what era of wrestling you watched, is a comic book fan, I believe. Those are just a couple.
Stardust.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, Stardust. Maybe you can get Stephen Amell.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
TV's Arrow.
I couldn't even get independent guys to respond to it, so I don't know if I could get him to do it.
Sounds like me trying to get Stan Lee on the show. But yeah,
that was. I'm gonna try again after it's complete. I'm gonna go back around and see if I can get maybe somebody, even if they're just at the independent level, to give like a little book quote, a little, hey, this is cool, so I can put it on the cover.
Sure. Now, the one thing that I'm not sure we covered is, did we mention the superpowers, the actual powers that Bemara has?
It's kind of like, I think I said a little bit about it. Yeah, she kind of has powers like Vertigo.
Oh, okay, that's right.
The Mickey Dizzy kind of Vertigo feeling.
So the same powers of a case of beer. Make you a little dizzy.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That joke works, but it doesn't always work. So. I'm excited. The disaster's number one. Now, what is the plan after number one? Are we going to go to number two and so on, or?
Yeah. The game plan is, after this comes out, people that donated obviously get the book. People who didn't donate, they could pick it up at a convention I'm at. But for people that can't do either of those things, it's going to be a web comic on Loophole Comics. It's going to come out a couple pages, like maybe a page a week. And then from there, I am going to continue the story either as a web comic or and maybe do another Kickstarter and put it out as a physical comic first, and mm-hmm. then webcomic next. Yeah, the next, I have idea the following this, I do have an idea for the rest of the story, which probably will either be just one big second issue or maybe broken up into a two and a three. Have the rest of the story of what happens next after, you know, killing a hero. And I also have an idea for following that, like a little special, which giving away what this, why it's just a little special would be telling the story.
Which we but don't do want. Have a,
yeah, which I do have an idea for at least one more issue beyond this to finish the story, maybe a two-issue thing, and then maybe a little fun extra thing that would involve having a bunch of more creators, kind of like this, where it has five creators, a bunch of artists, bunch of writers helping me out with it. So that's something to look forward to in the future. If you want to support it now to see maybe a year down the road what what special thing I have planned. But yeah, there is a plan. How exactly it's going to unfold depends on the success of this Kickstarter and the success of selling it at cons afterwards, and obviously the interest and from people reading the webcomic. I mean, if there's a lot of interest in the webcomic, a lot of interest from people, you know, right on Facebook and all, maybe I can figure a way to keep it going beyond just those two issues. Who knows what the future can bring, but there is a definite, I do have a plan for the story. It's not like I just have this and then I don't know what's going to happen next.
Well,
there is a planned out plot line.
I'm excited to see where the disasters goes in episode one and beyond. As we record this right now, 20 days left. I believe that puts it right at the 24th of February. It looks like in the morning. So if you are planning on getting up and, you know, having a nice leisurely breakfast that Wednesday morning, and then getting on the Kickstarter, let me save you some time. Do it Tuesday night. Got about, if I'm doing my math right, and I typically am not, but we'll say just under $2,500 to go to get your goal. I definitely think that is attainable in the next 3 weeks. So I obviously will be continuing to share the link over the course of that time. And I encourage everyone out there, you know what, give $5, give $8, give $10 or $20 if you've got some spare. I'm always about supporting the creation, new ideas, you know, new artists, new writers, new creations. That's, you know, a big part of what Nerds United Show is all about, is getting out there supporting, you know, finding these projects to support and then supporting them. And every story is told a little bit different. So, Mike, I want to thank you for your time and for the just a little bit of information that you've brought forth about the disasters, about your career as a letterer, about your life. I appreciate your time and apologize for all the technical errors that we had to endure, but I'm glad we were able to get together and hammer out the rest of this episode.
Oh, definitely. Thank you for having me on.
And that is, and in fact, in just to remind the listeners, when we started recording this podcast, it was Tuesday night, and now it's Wednesday night, and we haven't been talking for the last 24 hours, I guarantee you that. But earlier, when we were talking on Tuesday night, I said that this was episode 57. I was inaccurate. It is episode 58, and it has been a dandy. Go to kickstarter.com, search for The Disasters number one, or just The Disasters, or just Disasters. Test your luck, and you will see the cover art that is on display, the cover art by Paul Gorey and colored by Josh Jensen. The Disasters number one. Throw a few bones and support The Disaster so we get a Disasters number two. And thanks again to Micah Myers for joining me on episode number 58. This has been Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, and we'll see you again next time.
Bye.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.